interrupting the current neo-Uranial, climate-challenged, behaviorally controlled, energy-starved, alien-invaded, nuclear-glowing, postulated cricketism. To bring you behind the woodshed, this is Cricketude Busting Episode BTWRLM 572. And remember, being free is not a spectator sport, so you have to get yourself behind the woodshed. You're going to have to figure it out. They're not going to tell you. The occupiers never tell you. And remember, you know them when you see them. And before I get too far, I got to make sure, is this thing on? Did we survive the eclipse? No, I mean the gazillionth one in a row last week here behind being behind the woodshed. I can't tell though. Have the virgin sacrifices stopped yet? Anyone heard of any reports of a botched sacrifice? Whole thing eclipsed reason, folks, as far as I can tell. And on that note, it's confirmed. We certainly live in clown world. And clown world is a critical national security importance, U.S. approved and paid for. As we can read, Ukraine spares clowns from military draft. Remember this, folks. Circus performers have been declared a category of special strategic importance, not subject to conscription. The traveling circus of Ukraine and five other troops have been designated as a critically important enterprises for the functioning of the economy and ensuring the livelihoods of the population during a special period. The circus designation was confirmed by another PMP, Alexei Gonkarenko, who said that this did not come as a surprise since the mobilization and exemption procedures have turned into a circus long ago. Turned into clown world long ago. A long time ago. Good. I got it, folks. Here we go. What's going on next? Send in the claps. And they will. Protest Canada riot gear. Canada deploys police amid truckers' protest against carbon tax. I want to know, have you noticed, there's going to be some reports here about non-criminal things. The military police are being put on instead of the crime around you. Kyrgyzstan has deployed a significant number of police officers equipped with riot gear and automatic weapons as truckers and farmers take to the streets to protest against the carbon tax. Kyrgyzstan is facing a significant protest as truckers and farmers stand against the carbon tax. The deployment of police and riot gear and automatic weapons has escalated the situation. The unrest highlights the growing tensions around environmental policies and their impact on different sectors of society. Updated on this developing story as tensions rise between protesters and law enforcement in Canada. I'm going to touch that little bit there. Environmental policies. Remember, climate change is not about the weather. It's the change of the political climate. Transformation. As long as you resist it, you got a chance. So how much is the carbon price set to go up? Right now, the carbon pricing plan is set at $65 a ton already, folks. It's already been going on. And as of April 1st, it will be $80 a ton and will continue to rise annually by $15 until it reaches $170 a ton by 2030. So that works out to be about over 23% increase this year, if calculations are correct. People paying for fraud is what this is. And this is taxation, though, with warrant in law over that fraud. As I told you back in 2008, when fraud was monetized, the wraps are off. This whole place, this whole world becomes one big moving fraud. Your life becomes enveloped by it. And a follow-up story here reported prior behind the woodshed about government acting without warrant in law. DHS is expected to stop buying access to your phone movements. The controversial practice has allowed for warrantless tracking of hundreds of millions of people for years. But you notice it's only expected to stop. The point of me reading this is these government criminals did it. They knew better and they still did it. They only say it's just controversial though in the story. It's not just controversial. It's unlawful. And they did it anyway. We can see since 2018, agencies within the department, including Immigration and Customs Enforcement, U.S. Customs and Border Protection, and the U.S. Secret Service have been buying access to commercially available data that revealed the movement patterns of devices, many inside the United States. The agency paused this practice after the 2023 DHS watchdog report, pending a recommendation that they draw up better privacy controls and policies. However, the department instead appears to be winding down the use of the data. So pausing or winding down doesn't sound too much interested in being preemptorily law-abiding, as the official trust and duties and obligations require on this, and strongly suggests those don't actually exist in the post-founding father Lincolnized war of terror era we are living in. And the people, that the people don't see here a problem in this, that they Trump, or orange man bad, Biden cheerleading isn't the bigger thing to rally to stop, is really to my dismay. We would rather focus on these cheerleadings instead of what's really harming us. That is our problem. That was, when you look at the documents that established this place, that was put on the people to not be pushed away, looked away from the real important things. In the article, we can read that DHS's use of purchased mobile phone data has drawn concerns from within the agency's privacy office that the practice was not compliant with a 2018 Supreme Court case. The court ruling said Americans have a reasonable expectation of privacy in geolocation data held by their cell carriers. So take note of these, folks, as we're reading through this. But as recently as September 2023, ICE had rebuffed the recommendation from the DHS Inspector General to stop using commercially available location data. So following the law is merely a suggestion and only recommended, as we read there. It goes on to say the information that is available commercially would kind of knock your socks off, said a former top CIA official, Michael Morell, on a podcast last year. If we collected it using traditional intelligence methods, it would be top secret sensitive, and you wouldn't put it in a database. You'd keep it in a safe. You think your government officials everywhere are compromised much, folks? And another follow-up on a prior report, moving along pretty quickly, looks as if literally anybody else is getting scrutiny from the federal government. I won't read the title because it incorrectly states that the campaign is ended, but we'll read here, follow down. Among Americans frustrated with the status quo, campaign stickers and T-shirts advocate for another viable presidential candidate who isn't President Joe Biden, the Democrat, or former President Donald Trump, the Republican. Polls have shown the sentiment has some support in the electorate, and independent presidential candidates, including Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and Cornel West, have generated some interest. But one upstart candidate named literally anybody else doesn't have federal elections regulators laughing. The Federal Elections Commission sent a strongly worded letter to this week to the new candidate's campaign, called the Committee to Elect Literally Anybody Else. The FEC's missive reads, quote, "It has come to the attention of the Federal Elections Commission that you may have failed to include the true, correct, or complete committee information in the application." It also warned that, quote, "knowingly and willingly making any false, fictitious, or fraudulent statement or representation to the federal government agency, including the Federal Elections Commission, is punishable. The commission may report apparent violations to the appropriate law enforcement authorities." A response from literally anybody else is due to the FEC by April 23rd. So this sounds, if we read through that, like a request for more complete information, not an end to the campaign of literally anybody else. It doesn't sound, on the face of this article, too specific of what the Federal Commission is actually asking for, and it just looks like it's a bunch of threats. However, you don't want to disregard this. As you listen to me behind the woodshed, this is an administrative notice of performance, and you have to address it. Don't not do it. In this case, hopefully he's got it all his ducks in a row, and it'll just be one of those things that they're doing. In some regard, they have to do some of this checking, but in another, we wonder the political attack on it. And if this is not more than threats, I think if I was looking at this for me, my next letter in response would be to have the commission identify any failure supported by evidence and demand any specifics to be identified and what is needed in any amended correction. And I highlight this thing, amended. I wouldn't want to refile. I would suggest an amendment, not a refiling. There's a different treatment on those. But one would also be wise to go find those commission rules in this regard. Read through those, pick them up, see what you can do. And if there was nothing specific mentioned, I would ask what specifically they thought was missing or what they thought was incorrect relative to their demand and their threat. So we'll have to wait to see here whether the campaign for literally anybody else can continue based upon some filing error, and that's really what it would only be. And that's why they say may pass to a violation to law enforcement, because if it didn't have intent, if they can't show the intent or knowing intent, depending on the standard for that, they can't prefer it to law enforcement anyway. So this will be interesting to see. Texas, I think, needs to step up and help literally anybody else just to see the look on their face. And let's hope he hasn't made any real big mistakes here, and some little omission is nothing but an amendment. I wouldn't refile. Same thing with court papers. You don't file them. You don't refile them. You'll change your dates and all kinds of things. Just amend them as they need to be fixed. And they're tracking him down, literally anybody else down, but speaking here of tracking people, I'm always interested in, as I read, that I'll pass by a notice headline for being a non or minimal interest. Then a moment later, I think I should look more closely at it than to find it was important after all. So as we read these, I'm always thinking, is this, I want to read past some of this stuff, but is there a message in here? And we can see in this next story, the inexorable steps towards social credit, meaning perpetual political and economic digital indebtedness, as we can read, France, to fine patients for missing medical appointments. Those without a good excuse will pay a £5 penalty, Prime Minister Gabriel Attal has said. Attal's announcement of the proposed £5 penalty €5 penalty for failing to attend scheduled appointments was met with immediate outcry from doctors' unions and patient groups. Quote, it won't work. It's just a tax. And the end result will be that the health system will lose, Patrick Pillow, president of Emergency Doctors, stated. GP Luc de Quesnel reportedly told France Bleu Radio that it would be better to educate people rather than tell professionals they have to tax them, which will strain relations with our patients. According to Gerald Raymond, the president of the French Patients Association, who opposes the measure, the penalty is aimed at making patients feel guilty rather than responsible. Remember, I told you about your civil rights in America is to be extorted by payment of taxes and punishments and pain. So France knows all about that too. Remember, they gave us the Statue of Liberty. We're supposed to be together. Well, here we are. And the only answer the government has is there to exact taxes. So it always goes to extortion, even if that treatment won't work. But they have equal civil rights of exactions over there as well, you know, here. And that there is a, if you read the story, read it through, and you just heard most of what I just said about that, the doctors are responding, there is another reasonable alternative, educating people as to their responsibilities or other measures in support rather than taxing usually indicates an ulterior motive here. This is what you'll see in the transformation things, the future that they want. So let's see if we can read through here and see if we can find the clue identifying that covert intention. As we read, under the plan, patients would be obliged to give debit and credit card details when arranging an appointment. If they failed to turn up without giving at least 24 hours notice, the doctor could fine them. Patients with a valid reason for missing their appointment would be exempt. And this then puts it all on the doctor. This also reflects that exclusive jurisdiction care the doctor has as well, that all the world failed to look at in the Covey swindle, but looking on what they're doing here, how they're moving this along, So if you, you understand, they have debit cards or credit cards. So I guess cash on this is no longer good enough. And you can blame that or credit that to the great COVID swindle and all that went on there. And then also taking note here that everyone needing health care and being a social medical system paid for by the government would be that most everyone in France would have to get and use some form of digital payment. So if I just said that, I hope you put your thinking cap on. You see right where we're going to go pretty quickly with what looks to be something going after appointments. It's actually going to advance the future that they want. So it's not here a great leap then to see it would be a simple matter to attach this requirement to the tracking and tracing of behaviorally controlling token citizenship in the global panopticocratic plantation that they're setting up for us. So again, as we watch through, we see, if you look, you see where they're going. You can see how a demand, plausible enough as it is on the surface, is really just the setup for the takedown in the future. And as we keep moving through here to see, the CDC is now forced to pay with some paper for its failure to keep its appointment of integrity, fiduciary, and trust. As we can find, the CDC releases hidden COVID-19 vaccine injury reports. And I was really telling you about 3.5 years we start seeing this. It's taken almost 4, going into 5 to start to get this. But here it's finally showing up, everything that we've been saying and noticing about this. The agency was forced, get this, forced by a federal judge to disclose the reports. Other documents show the CDC became aware of the vaccines possibly causing myocarditis or heart inflammation and related condition called pericarditis early in 2021, but hid the knowledge from the public. The first two tranches made up of 780,000 reports from some 520,000 people were received shortly after the COVID-19 vaccines were rolled out and show that people experience a wide range of post-vaccination problems, including heart inflammation, miscarriages, and seizures, hundreds of reports of facial paralysis, and thousands of reports of tinnitus. Multiple people said things were so bad that they were struggling with suicidal thoughts. For 24 hours after the shot, I was so fatigued, I could not stay awake. I also have some very strong suicidal thoughts. Zero appetite, one individual wrote. Another person said they experienced symptoms of an allergic reaction. I read there was this vaccine should not be administered to anyone allergic to PEG, and I am allergic to PEG. It would be incredibly reassuring if someone would call me, as all I run into is dead ends, the individual said. And this is the pegylated bioweapon that they put together for us. Quote, the loss of consciousness and seizure immediately following injection went to ER for ambulance, one person reported, and another stated diagnosed with Bell's palsy today due to left-sided facial numbness and paralysis. So this is everything I was reporting behind the woodshed years ago as the reports were coming out, as well as explaining how people would avoid this and just see how many got harmed here. And the CDC knowingly withheld this and had to be forced by a judge to disclose it. And these are the things that were the ones that were released and those that bothered to report. So don't underestimate here the real story here. Just, I don't even know how to think, what more to think about this. In fact, I was going to place here, there was a string of, I think in California, in Southern California, a string of sheriffs that were committing suicide. Never heard a follow-up on that. But this here we have the reports that some people felt suicidal. How many did commit suicide we'll never hear from as well. And it just, I don't know what more to say than it saddens me that there was an answer. It really was an answer. Just no one. We are a society that doesn't really believe in the law, and we see it being violated everywhere, and we just don't think it's available. In this case, for this subject matter, the law was the only thing that could have been thrown in the way procedurally as well, and the protections that are in the communicable disease law to stop every bit of this and force the government to really look at every one case by case, like they were saying. In fact, there was really no cases. These were made up as well. So if they're not going to disclose the harms and they're not going to disclose what's going on, non-disclosure, we have a major crime going on that, again, a country that professes to have checks and balances that isn't checking and balancing, you're going to have to relook and take stock about what that's doing and where you might position yourself. And I can't see how, if anybody actually could do this, but they would not, could, they could, but if they would, how they could support anybody that allowed this whole thing to continue, such as Trump, who started it, Biden, who continued it, mandatory this and mandatory that. And there was zero authority for it. The Dr. Mary Bowden case, zero authority for the CDC to post stop ivermectin. It was not in their wheelhouse. They had no authority. Zero, as I've been saying. And all this is looking at your organic establishment. That part is still good, even in the Lincolnized era, the separation and the reservations to the state for health care. And those people just did not abide by them themselves for their own protection. And so it's not, like I told you a long time ago, I'm not happy that I was able to point this out, because very few followed or heard or was able to hear what was being said, that they should turn themselves. And those that did, and those that I worked with, if you will, on the conversations that I've had over time, they had trouble implementing the very simple stuff that was in the law. So this is another condition that we have to take stock in for ourselves and about ourselves as people. Everybody wants to proceed like they know better, but it doesn't work that way. It doesn't proceed because you say so or you think you have rights. When you keep having that idea, you're going to keep running into these problems. When you realize you're in an occupied territory, you're in an open-air prison, and they speak through those statutes, however you want to define that government, that's how they communicate. As I've explained to you about doing a habeas corpus, I was instructed by a lawyer, not some attorney, but someone who was someone who really appreciated the law and wanted to enforce law. He told me how to do the habeas. And I've explained that story. I won't do that again. The point is that there's a way to do that. And that's where I learned that you have to speak through the statutes, or these folks in positions of power, the ones that can hurt you or keep things going or protect you, have to read that law a certain way. And this is, again, I won't go through, there's so much that leads me here to tell you that again today. That is the way it works. It eliminates so many questions, too, about what should have been said and done. And the only other question was, how many of you all, just not a judgment here, just everyone, how many of us all around societies everywhere would have stepped up and insisted on the same law that they couldn't have got away with it? And there would have been, you weren't resistant or hesitating anything because they hadn't done the first step. The very first step. It didn't even require lawsuits. It just required saying, you don't have the authority until you show it, over telling me what to do, and then you don't have that authority because the doctor has advisory care for me, and I have the final say after I've been fully disclosed as to what's going on. And then I have a choice in that. And so, it's sad to hear all these harms going on, and I've still seen reports. You can move your system out of that if you start to do the right things, and I'm not going to go through all that again either, but so, moving on now, the application of that, of what that withholding of the knowledge about that, how much quicker here would these people coming here on the next story would have been exonerated had those people known of the CDC records, as we can read, police settled personal grievance claims over staff treatment after COVID-19 vaccine refusals. See, this is the thing I'm trying to tell you about the refuse. You can't be a refuse, Nick. You didn't have to be. They just didn't do the law that you had anything to refuse. And if you understand that little subtle shift, you'll understand what the law could have done for everybody. You're not refusing anything that was lawfully said and suggested. So there's not a refusal. There's not a hesitancy. First, do the law and explain through my doctor how you got there by these objective rules. You put that forward, or you are looked at as volunteering, and nobody at that point is forced, even though everyone claims to be. But moving into the story, the police have settled personal grievance claims over how dozens of staff were treated over refusing to get the COVID-19 vaccine. And I failed to mention the last report and this one right here. There are no COVID vaccines as a matter of local communicable disease law. There are no vaccines. Every one of these stories that talks about a vaccine is misrepresenting what they were. The claims were lodged in May 2022 after the High Court ruled a vaccine mandate for police was unlawful. It would have restricted the roles of unvaccinated staff, what they could carry out. Employees complained about how long it took for them to return to work, their roles, their treatment by other staff, and the police's new vaccination policy. In August, the police tweaked the policy to say vaccination was not expected, but was encouraged. Again, they hadn't, even the police have no authority. It's the doctor that has the primary exclusive jurisdiction of care of his or her patient. The police now say that not 41 individual grievances had been settled via confidential settlement, while others were withdrawn or not pursued. The police withheld any information about what it has cost them. Well, who's paying for this government if they can withhold this? Government withholding of info without warrant seems to be a universal occurrence. The CDC was doing it, had to be ordered by a court and a judge. These folks, these police are doing it in New Zealand, I think this story comes from. But you see the lack of information, the lack of being forthright by these governments, these agencies of government, running a scam, global scam, the broker being the WHO, not the Rock Group, the OWL, or the little people from Whoville, but the World Health Organization. That's running that broker scam, pharmaceutical broker scam, pushing that. They essentially invalidated their fiduciary, they breached their fiduciary, they broke their trust, and they have no integrity right now. And I'm still hoping people really start to see that. Not say, well, look, I didn't take the shot, the jab, and so look how superior I am, and you need to apologize. No, there's a bunch of problems with all of this, and we got to stop fighting amongst ourselves, even when we were fighting amongst ourselves. Stop that and start focusing on these folks. Again, you hear policy was changed. That may be where it start, but also official duties and obligations under law, not policy, but law, have not yet been brought to bear in the crosshairs of everybody's psyche to say, no, we're going to make sure they follow the law. I don't want to know about how much I can prove the harms. I need to know that these officials were going to follow the law so this never, ever, ever happens like this again. And then be diligent to make sure they don't change those policy rules underneath, as I've told you they were doing, and maybe even the laws themselves, which are being adjusted to allow the term pandemic to be inside, the foreign term pandemic to be inside of the United States, the state jurisdictions. There is no such thing as a medical pandemic. It's a fabricated definition. It has to do with where that thing is located around the world. It has nothing to do with the local jurisdiction. And yet they're starting to, the legislatures, ignorant as they have become, they're going to allow this. And some of that's not so much ignorance as the agents have been planted to be doing that inside your system. And they're doing it because no one understands any of this anymore. Again, nobody knew once even they were given an answer. They're handed the document that gave them their exemption, which was not an exemption. It was a challenge to the authority, your employer. Nobody could execute that document. It was already written. Everybody wants to say how much they know instead of just sitting back and saying, but the obligation was on the official or the authorita, whoever. That could have been the company. That could have been a local official. That could have been the WHO. That could have been the CDC. None of them had jurisdiction. The doctor did. And the doctors didn't know that. For all the good the doctors did to step up and take hits relative to the treatments like ivermectin they wanted to do, like Dr. Mary Bowden, they didn't understand that they had all the power to say, but you haven't done your duty under the law, and we don't move until that happens. And so we said we lost, our whole society lost numbers of protective barriers, our own protective legal barriers, not just the biological barriers, from being interfered with. And so here's another story. Here's how this starts to work. You see another story exposing how governments allow harm, but in smaller doses. African state recalls Johnson & Johnson children's medicine. Kenya has followed Nigeria in withdrawing a batch of cough syrups, saying they contain deadly toxins. Kenya's drug regulator says it is recalling a batch of Johnson & Johnson children's cough syrup, Benylin Pediatric, due to concerns that the product contains an unacceptable level of potentially fatal toxic substance. So you get that, right? This admits that the government will allow some acceptable level of potentially fatal toxic substance to be given to children. To me, it's just amazing what people allow. We're watching this and we allow this. And it's all over the world. It's not condemning the United States and how we failed. Everybody, everywhere seems to fail. Somehow we've missed, I don't know why, we're just not picking up the cues and the clues quick enough and certainly not executing on it. But the laboratory analysis conducted on the product showed that it contained an unacceptably high level of diethylene glycol and was found to cause acute oral toxicity in laboratory animals, NAFDAC said in a public notice published on its website. Diethylene glycol has been reported to cause abdominal pain, an inability to pass urine, and acute kidney injury, which can be fatal. It has been linked to the deaths of several children in Gambia, Uzbekistan, and Cameroon since 2022 after they consumed Indian-made cough syrups. Now remember, I read those reports months ago on this topic, and that in that reading, the United States gets 80% of its medication from India. And apparently, as to Johnson & Johnson, their products as well, as we hear right here now. So I would just have to start advocating. Find your homemade alternatives. Protect yourselves and your little ones, because neither the governments nor the Johnson & Johnson family of products or other corporations will, it seems. It's just despicable what they're allowing, what they do, what we allow on that, and we've been trusting way too long. I'm hoping more comes out for us as a society. If we aren't going to understand to execute the law, we at least start to be very jaded about what we believe government really is doing for us, and hopefully before the government destroys us and brings us all into the future that they want. But I would also advocate here, as you do your studies for all alternatives, again, I'm not saying don't go doctor. Western doctors have probably the best analytics, the best testing, minus the PCR, but you start looking at what they're supposed to do. They can give you a lot of information. You need to go to a surgeon. Maybe you need to get a surgeon. I've explained my own, like, antibiotics. There was a time if I didn't get the antibiotic that was prescribed, finally the doctor figured out what it was, I would be dead. So there's risk. This is the risk management thing. But that's up to you and the doctor, and a good doctor will know all this stuff, where you can go, where you can't. On some of maybe the lighter stuff, like maybe a cough that's not too bad or chronic, consider finding alternatives. But you have to be careful where you get your info. And I'll relate here something that came up in the process of discussing something with an emailer. That was also one who stepped up during the great Kobe swindle to make a proper record to rely on. It directed me to a Dr. Robert Morse. He's a naturopath. And at that time, he was on YouTube. He advocates for more healthy eating, in particular fruits, berries, and melons, and that such, and stimulating the lymphatic system. And not only that, he's got a pretty holistic view of all that. So because of my recent vision problems, which had become very serious impairments, I've been trying to improve them. I was investigating hyaluronic acid, and that turns out to be a fluid in the eye and in about every cell in the body. And I found out it is created through fructose pathway in the body. The body handles fructose through a special pathway, not other sugars like this. So think about that. And all the sugars are the same crowd of disinformers that you might hear. So in other words, Dr. Robert Morris's advocacy for eating much more fruit with its high fructose source is implicated as correct, again. And as we find out, he becomes condemned a bit here. But at about the same time, where fruit-eating diets have been more universally condemned of what he would advocate, he gets marginalized. Those like him get marginalized. No different than even the doctors got marginalized for saying, wait, we can treat this with ivermectin. But they got slapped too. So understand that's a dynamic that they're working on. But when you're looking for alternatives, you've got to find proper sources of information. And you might have to find them in marginalized sources. But I noticed an internet article extolling, as I was going through this, and in the communication I was going through, I noticed an internet article extolling the virtues of eating fruit, but it only offered a small amount of information that was really almost useless. It was almost like sounding like this Dr. Morse would talk, but it really didn't have the substance behind it. It was like claiming, it was all now where they had condemned this, it was mainstream claiming that to make themselves, I guess, relevant. So I sent that reference back to the emailer with a cynical answer, something to the effect that Dr. Robert Morse had been replaced with this new expert advice, which was what he'd been doing, that they had condemned before. But it seemed to me that the mainstream is now moving to embrace these more healthy eating habits to make themselves relevant and create more noise in the system that we'll need to filter out. So I want to caution you, you're going into taking care of your own health. It's a big responsibility, and we don't understand. There's not a good understanding of the body and the systems. We tend to go after treatment instead of if you cure, where we get the body systems working better, we tend to focus on the wrong things, like I've seen we do in legal, if you will, law things. We have been maybe programmed to do that. And I think I saw where YouTube has removed Dr. Morris's account some months ago, but maybe look Dr. Robert Morse up elsewhere. I did look really quick, found a Rumble. I'll put that in the blogcast or a Rumble link to his site. He might be someone to rely on better than others in building your library of useful, helpful information and actions. And you'll be able to understand when you're reading information where the mainstream starts picking it up and just gives you dribble, you'll be able to start to see that. And that's why I say start reading enough, understanding enough, integrating yourself enough with a knowledge to be able to protect you in essentially not wasting your time. So for my part, I'm not able to really strenuously adhere to Dr. Robert Morse's regimens, but taking notice of his principles, I've seen my vision, puns intended, return back to just short of being able to read printed text on paper now. So that's not back yet, but the full moon, I've noticed here in the last 2 months, especially this last one, the full moon doesn't look like a Vienna sausage in the sky anymore, and I only see doubled up, quintuple. That was, yes, five images I was seeing for a while as I was trying to figure out what this problem was. I've never had anything like this in my life, but I've apparently had some serious failures in my eyes all of a sudden, and the only thing I can figure out is all this stress that I've been suffering here from this abuse of people I can't escape yet from, and dealing with other unwarranted, even criminal threats and attack just recently. It's just terribly, just amount of stress that I can do, and then being forced to write my legal papers in defense on a borrowed cell phone, maybe focusing my eyes real constant, you know, for days and days and days on end trying to get the paperwork written up, because I didn't have a computer, got no power that I could run it with all the time that the power's out. These unexpected eye problems have been interesting, if not a bit terrifying experience. Working that through, reminding myself of Dr. Morris's suggestions, finding the fructose pathway that makes the hyaluronic acid, which I suspect feed the eyes and all cells in the body. Doing that has been slowly, I've been coming back. So whatever the cause, I don't know. But I can just tell you that the dead black worsening pixelated spots was probably the worst to consider. That was looking like absolute blindness for a little while. And so unexpected and out of the blue, relative to my general health at that time. It's caused me to also consider whether they've got a voodoo doll against me. So nonsensical some of this thing was seeming to be, especially when my eyes would begin stinging, not just burning, but I mean stinging, like 1,000 micro needles were there. And I know, considering voodoo dollars, it sounds weird, but nothing else makes any real sense. I've tried to leave no stone unturned to try to find my way back. Like I said, I'm not seeing the sausage in the sky in the full moon. I can see only a double vision. It's, they were doing road work, and I saw this the line they put in the road was single down the line, and it looked like there was five lines in the road. So I said, "What?" That confused me for a while. But anyway, the abruptness and comprehensiveness of the impairments, and talk about, you know, with this voodoo, talk about a sharp stick in the eye, and then the other eye, all this just didn't seem normal. But so all that said, looking through this and trying to find help with health, even though I thought I was doing really well, and looking back at Dr. Morris and watching what the system is doing, what mainstream is beginning to do to start claiming the things that it denied and condemn people for, is really what I'm trying to say here. You really got to pay attention, and you might be able to work your way back out. I've always said, you know, our bodies are this real miracle work, and you can just got to give it the things it needs and get out of the way in a way. So you got to pay attention to all that, and you got to figure it out. So when you take these, you're going to see the corporations and government allow an acceptable level of harm to come before you. You're going to may have to take responsibility for that. It becomes a very big job, but you're the only one that's going to be able to do that. So while my vision's been kind of screwed up, a lot screwed up, really been trying to figure out the workarounds to try and bring this weekly. I think about it here, I'm hoping that it wasn't too noticeable. Try to do some things. But anyway, there is information out there. Don't let these newfound experts created to counter growing awareness of a better health regimens, which the ones that are good are trying to show you to feed your existing healing body systems. They don't just give you a small bit of information and leave you hanging. They'll explain through how it works, and that's something you're going to have to need to do. And you won't be wasting your time finding viable alternatives to these countries and these corporations like the J&J family of companies that disregard your health or that of your family as you go and watch this. This is all done to the profit of global disease industrial complex that we see, and of which the WHO, you know, not the rock group, not the owl or the little people from Whoville, but the World Health Organization is the global broker for, that I've explained numerous times before. This is another one of those sad stories to my mind where the kids are getting cough medicine, but then you read between the lines, or they tell you, it's not even between the lines. The governments accept some level of toxicity in products. We need to take cognizant of that. That's how they're running the whole society. This is the risk management. How much risk are they going to agree to put on you before it breaks you? And then we find out, like, these persistent chemicals, over time, they build up. We're going to have to stop this abuse to ourselves. And it's just not these products, and it's not the information. The health of international law is under attack as well. Another police mandate that is found unlawful, as we read, and this is, again, international law, astonishing to me. I don't even understand how this is going on in the world, and it goes on. And when this is breaking down, you're watching the breakdown of countries. And when the countries break down, you're going to watch more strife building as everyone, it just goes lawless. And so this is the importance of keeping law, even international law, which is really just norms of treatment, how you work things to keep peace. But Ecuador detained former Vice President Jorge Glass at Mexican Embassy in Quito. The former Ecuadorian Vice President arrived at the Mexican Embassy in Quito last December to request protection and was granted a guest access. The Ecuadorian government later asked Mexico for a permission to enter the embassy and arrest Glass, but police were denied access. Now, understand, Julian Assange was looking at the same thing, right? In the same place, same state that broke its promise to Julian Assange. But here we have here. On Friday, the Mexican government decided to grant political asylum to Glass. Ecuador said Mexico granted asylum to former Ecuadorian Vice President Jorge Glass is illegal and demanded that the politician be extradited. Well, that's an admission that he should have been extradited by process right there, notwithstanding their claim. Glass, who was released at the end of 2022 after 5 years in prison for bribery and criminal conspiracy, was sentenced to 6 years in prison in December 2023 in a corruption case involving a Brazilian construction company, Odebrecht. The issuance of a warrant for his arrest occurred after he took refuge at the Mexican diplomatic mission. The Ecuadorian government has confirmed that the detention of former Ecuadorian Vice President Jorge Glass, who was granted asylum at the Mexican embassy in Quito, calling the police attack on the Mexican diplomatic mission, quote, defense of national sovereignty, the Ecuadorian presidential office said on Saturday. Mexican President Andre Manuel López Obrador instructed Foreign Secretary Alicia Bárcena to immediately announce the suspension of relations with Ecuador after Ecuadorian police broke into the Mexican diplomatic mission to detain former Ecuadorian Vice President Jorge Glass. Our Foreign Secretary Alicia Bárcena just informed me that the Ecuadorian police forcibly entered our embassy and detained the country's former vice president, who was a refugee and was seeking asylum due to the persecution and accusations he faced. This is a blatant violation of international law and the sovereignty of Mexico, so I instructed our secretary to issue a statement, to act within the law, and to immediately announce the suspension of diplomatic relations with the government of Ecuador, the Mexican president wrote on X. What it surprises to hear, this is a CIA rules-baseless order attacking international law-based embassies, folks. If we were to look just a little bit under the surface of this, just like Ecuador broke its word on Assange as well, and his Ecuadorian citizenship as well, or as the Zionist demons did to the Iranian embassy in Syria just before. Now, these Zionist cowards struck Iran in Syria, not in Iran. Can you believe this, really? Can you believe this is the type of thing that's going on? Or hear that the United States is retaliating against Mexico through this rules-baseless order, as we've heard rumors of sending troops to stop the drug cartels, the U.S. fosters and encourages, and we've heard was Fast and Furious. Almost again, the setup for the takedown of Mexico in this regard relative to the CIA. And then we hear, this is declared by Mexico on the X app. An app, folks, of all things. So how globalizing is this platform becoming, or unbecoming, as it were? An inept diplomacy is certainly a new one on me as well here, as we're announcing things on a private internet website, things of international importance. And we may not think much about Mexico and Ecuador, but all of a sudden, four or five more countries stepped up and said they're not going to put up with this stuff either. This is a major breakdown in a time when we really can't afford to have major international breakdowns. And again, it's not just not the diplomatic international law that's sick. We all know the financial system is extremely sickly. No bank is safe. Implosion coming. Every single bank is insolvent. So remember, we see these warnings. Look around. Prove them out. And then if you can find the truths of them, you learn to position yourself ahead of time. You're not going to have an ability to do it after. And then with this one that's coming, given they execute it, there's going to be a transformation of everybody's relationship. The bank sector's troubles might be out of mainstream headlines, but the crisis is far from over, with the risk of an implosion and consolidation of banks still extremely high, warned Lynette Zhang, founder and CEO of Zhang Enterprises. I believe we will definitely see even more banks collapse. What they're trying to do is engineer a soft landing, but the problem is that we are transitioning into a new system. There's no such thing as a soft landing. They need a crisis. So we will see even more banks collapse this year. It's not just about bonds and mortgages, Zhang added, noting that it also touches auto loans, student loans, credit cards, and trillions and quadrillions of derivative bets against that debt or against the credit quality. So yes, every single central bank, well, she said, every single commercial bank, all of the debt is underwater. What have we been talking about? The central banks going for gold at this point. And all this is fiat fraud paper. This upcoming crisis in the banking sector could be used to pave the way to a central bank digital currency in the U.S., according to Zhang. Quote, you need a crisis that's large enough to scare the people to comply, and they're going to give us CBDCs to go out and spend. And even though Fed Chairman Powell says, Fed Chairman Magic 8 Ball Powell says, we're not even close to it. They're running tests. Here's the thing. Their job is to lie, she said. If you don't have a food, water, energy, security, barterability, wealth, preservation, community, and shelter, you're not going to have choices because you're going to be beholden to whatever they want you to do, she said. They are working voraciously at getting those CBDCs everywhere in the world, even though the public in many places has spoken and does not want them. They will cram it down our throats. My personal experience, especially after reading the 1996 NSA, which is a government agency white paper on how to create a mint, is that Bitcoin was the Trojan horse, she noted. I don't think it was a coincidence that it came out in January 20, 2009, and quantitative easing started in March. There's your fraud becoming money, monetized. And then the insurance on that and all these derivatives. Trillions and quadrillions, she says, is from that. That was created out of thin air on agreements. Zhang speculated that Bitcoin was used to normalize the idea of digital currencies, allowing the public to be more receptive to future CBDC. For insights on how Bitcoin could be a decoy that ushers in the CBDC is, I don't think, there's nothing in here that she says that I haven't been saying for a long, long time. When I was talking against, well, for the same reasons, all these as the cryptocurrencies. Not because I don't think it's cool. Not because I don't think that it's a needed tool in the age of digital and transferring value from one party to the next. But because of this very, it's a priming condition. And we saw it. We're watching it. We're watching this official prison, this digital prison coming on. Also changes the relationship. It's not even money. It's not even funds. It's not even fiat. It's an obligation. And you're not in control of that. Well, this is designed to cause economic hardships upon people so that they have no choice but to accept, is another point I made. She said that, but listen to this story right here. And this new guy with a chainsaw that won the election down there. Cash-strapped Argentines K for eye scans. Argentines eyeing a financial boost are lining up by the thousands to have their irises scanned in exchange for a few crypto tokens as part of an online biometrics project under scrutiny in several countries. For volunteering their data, initial participants receive 10 tokens, each of WorldCoin's own cryptocurrency. In Argentina, with its notoriously unstable exchange rate, the value differs wildly. When Sosa and Moreno, the objects of the story, received theirs, 10 tokens were worth the equivalent of $80. And so I've told you for a long time, they get you in a hard way, and then you just have to accept, or you're going to starve, or you can't do something you can't do. And I can just tell you, being put into a place of necessity, it's very difficult to get stuff when you have nothing. I can just tell you that. You do have to rely a lot on people, and I'm grateful for a lot of the people that have been stepping up around me in an almost impossible condition, but that's what's going to have to happen. I'm living, if you will, that beyond austerity. It's just, I don't even know what to call it. I've never seen, have to deal with anything such as I am right now. To survive, it requires a lot of integrated energy. And the more you try to survive, the less you get to do outwardly. Like I told you, if you have mothers and fathers with sick children because of these things the doctors do, you're not going to be looking at even your civil rights. You're just going to be subject. You're not going to be looking to go and protect yourself against the next legislator that's trying to come against you, the next code enforcement. You don't have the capacity. You're naturally helping your son and daughter. That's why I say, if you learn, you'll probably be wise to learn how to do local things at your own hand. Learn how the systems of the body work. Learn what you're looking at. Learn the signals that are going out, the signals are telling you in your health, and keep ahead of that stuff. And you can look around and use herbs and the life around you, the plants around you, and other things to help. It certainly can't be putting your family under threat where a government allows a small dose of toxic substances in everything you do. I mean, they don't even look at cumulative stuff. But anyway, here, the other advisor says that they force you into having to do something, and then they offer this thing, and people will turn out to pick it up. It's not much different than you get a bunch of people that are destitute, and then you have a war. You have a ready-made army to go out and will work to fight for what? Citizenship. For what? A couple bucks, a fiat. And so watch. This is in the news. It's happening. Back and forth this is going. And people, they get to a point you have to. You have to ask for help. And if the government has something to offer, you'll take that. And I'm not just talking about a hand, like they say, the hand up. No, I'm talking about this stuff, this transformation. We've been talking about it a long time, and here we are. And quite right on through how they're showing, and people are also of the mind that these are preparatory acts to the final stages. They soften up the target, and then they move. They find out whether you're going to resist, and if you don't, then they move. They find out how you're going to resist. And if it's not quite right, they go ahead and move. And they force you right up to the wall. But just in time, we see as well how this is coming together. We talked about all this stuff and this control, this digital panopticonocratic gulag, this thing that's coming on. They watch everything that's going on. The BIS, the Bank of International Settlements here, plans to use AI. AI erroneous, to monitor global bank transactions with the new heights of surveillance. The Bank of International Settlements is working on an AI system to monitor global transactions. It says it's in an effort to combat money laundering. The system, dubbed Project Aurora, will use machine learning to track financial transactions globally to flag patterns of money laundering. According to the BIS, the system can identify money laundering structures performed by money mules. However, for the system to achieve its goal, governments and corporate banks will have to allow streamlined access and open their systems for the AI to monitor transactions. Some banks already use AI systems to flag unusual behavior. However, Project Aurora will require global access on a terrifying scale in terms of privacy. The idea of combating money laundering is being used to justify giving governments and banks surveillance power over financial transactions. The project would be abused to target people for both their financial and political activities. Remember, climate change is not about the weather. So put that right there in the political activities. BIS is also working on Project Icebreaker, which would create a system where all banks can regulate and homogenize. Surprised they don't use the word harmonize there, but homogenize all currencies to create one global exchange model and give the BIS the power to punish your civil rights and country or company that goes against its ideologies. So right on track. They got us in. They're using Bitcoin, exactly what I was suggesting. Is they're using cryptocurrency, not because I'm against it, but because what it looked like it was going to do. We're here, and now you see the overarching control, which we've heard coming, and they've been talking. Remember, they were interested in your last $100 spent, and now they're onto it. Not even a year later, they're already making a global AI monitoring system. And it's completely AI error prone. In fact, machine learning is what it was. And it's very difficult. You have to really think about what question you want to ask it. And it'll change its answer. And it'll give you answers on either side of a point. It'll deny something in one answer, and then it'll admit to it in a different form, in a different answer, on a differently prepared question. And this is the future that they want. It's always going to be walking on eggshells and on marbles, essentially. But we find here, I think, in this next story, the model for future Siberian social credit healthy behavior rewards when no bank is left behind in the transformation to the digital gulag, where we read Roblox studio head states, play to earn isn't child labor, It's a gift. Roblox has in-game development tools via its studio feature for a while, offering users the chance to create entire games that can be published for other players and monetized. It all takes place within Roblox itself, streamlining the experience for creators and giving Roblox a cut of the profits. But what if you're in the BIS system? Not the Roblox, but it's called BIS. And the cut of the profits goes to not you, the creator of the servitude. Coraza elaborated, declaring that the benefits Roblox Studio offers is more creative teenage users. He even says that the money the studio gives its creators every year is nearing $1 billion. Quote, for them, you know, hearing from their experience, they didn't feel like they were exploited. They felt like, oh my God, this was the biggest gift. And all of a sudden, I would create something. I had millions of users. I made so much money, I could retire. So I focus more on the amount of money that we distribute every year to the creators, which is now getting close to like $1 billion, which is phenomenal. Now, not to judge this offer, but let's apply that model and behavior, the logic, to something more universal. Let's focus on the money, so-called. Follow the money? Let's focus on the money. Let us, in this near futurized, we'll move this into the future, this future generations that are these tokenized youth. Remember, everything's done for future generations. Let's move it to there, for the future generations, and these are now tokenized youth. The fiat gift from government to share your prosperous social credit-driven responsibilities or to justify your universal basic income payment is whatever form or name it takes in the future is what this sounds like to me. This is universal payment, a global Pluto and beyond type universal, all gifts from the Galactic Federation of Planetary Gulags type universal payment and their Investigrata carbon compliance units. These token citizen slavery will feel like a gift from Greta governance as they get us tuned to it. How they'll justify Mars, where the last civilization attacked carbon and went on to go extinct with carbon atmosphere remaining, I don't know, but maybe, is that what Elon Musk is attempting to get back to Mars, to clean up the crime scene left behind by his kin? Anyway, Roblox headed model here, more universally applied, conceivably advances the transformation to the future that they want effortlessly and voluntarily because they felt like, oh my God, this was the biggest gift. Feeling, nothing more than feelings. Folks, teardrops rolling down my face. What we do to ourselves and how easy it's done to us. Quite astonishing. So you take this little story, attach it to the future that they want, and I believe you can see the model here. And once you see it, then you can start applying for yourself how to avoid it. I think if you don't see it, you're going to get blindsided by it. You just think it's a phone. You just think it's an effortless gift given to you, like make so much money. And what it's doing is tying you in. And they adjust. Roblox sells, let's say, to BIS, and then BIS goes ahead and adjusts it how they want it. Think about that one. And I think we're after the hour, I hope, here. We'll give you an episode number. This is episode BTWRLM 572. If you're just joining us after the hour, so that you can go back to the broadcaster and figure it out. But remember, you can't go wrong when you get behind the woodshed. So you got to be aware, though. And it's not about, you see, I'm not an advocate at knowledge is power. You've heard me over and over. Knowledge properly applied can be powerful. Most likely will be, but you always have that, nothing's perfect in this world and place. But so as countries look here for anything to confiscate from tax slaves to survive, not to leave the social credit delinquent out either, the way they're going to do this, South Korea seizes crypto from tax delinquents. Again, another aspect of what I was saying, why they want to, it's not just about money laundering. This is about confiscating your stuff over whatever the bureaucrat wants to say. Local authorities have reported, in the news today here, folks, this is how they're going to do it. Local authorities have reported lowered the debt threshold and employed mobile phone tracking to find the digital assets of evaders. Not an extremist there, you're an evader. The crypto account of a person with tax arrears will be immediately seized, and transaction activities such as sales and withdrawals will be stopped, the report goes on to explain. If the arrears are not voluntarily paid after seizure, the virtual assets will be sold on the exchange market to cover the delinquent taxes, the publication states. Quote, we will do our best to raise awareness about a chronic delinquent taxpayers by not only seizing and selling virtual assets, but also introducing various customized collection techniques suitable for the digital age. Fascinating, is it? The digital age. They call it that digital gulag, though, do they? The authorities in Gyeonggi used a new digital system that includes tracking mobile phone numbers to identify users' accounts on cryptocurrency exchanges. The technique has helped reduce the time it takes for investigate whether a tax evader owns digital assets for 6 months to around 2 weeks, Yonhap says. Similar practices have been employed in Hungary and the UK. And they've been saying up until now they don't know anything about this stuff, right? But this is global civil rights, folks. You're watching it right in the news. For the reasons I said about crypto, and be careful about it, they can turn you off and turn you on. And civil rights, as I've been saying, we go to read and reference United States law, is global. 42 U.S.C. 1981, to pay exactions of every kind and no other. Equally paying your socially responsible taxes to the global panopticonocratic overlords and enjoying pains and punishments, too. Go read it, folks. It's right there, 42 U.S.C. 1981, where occupied Americans have been enjoying these extortions since 1865. And clueless about it to boot. And remember, the best slaves are the ones that think they are free. Equally. I'm stunned when I read this stuff sometimes. I can't believe we aren't seeing this. Can't see the setup for the takedown, and yet the stories are around the world. It's all integrated already working. The governments will lie to you like they don't disclose certain things, that they'll lie to you about what they're doing, and yet it's totally something else, and it's totally predictable. It's the only thing governments do. And even more delinquent than tax avoiders, evaders to the government is crime evasion by the government itself, as we can find. Scotland police may be forced to make budget cuts to deal with authoritarian speech complaints. As I said early on in the broadcast, watch, the law is not enforced anymore. It's everything that is about speech. It's about censorship. It's about control. It's about behavior. Now, we have the stories coming, but at least Scotland, and we'll find another government here right next door, are putting a lot of time into just processing speech complaints. Police Scotland is grappling with potential budgetary pressures and service reductions. David Threadgold of the Scottish Police Federation, and I think Threadgold is the clue here on what this is really about relative to the police and their government and the work of the budget problem. But here we go. Threadgold has raised concerns about the financial impact of the Hate Crime and Public Order to Scotland Act. According to him, the legislation has already led to an overload of calls with over 6,000 logged since its enactment. This influx of reports, he fears, will necessitate cuts elsewhere in the police budget. All right, here's the fear coming for society to look at and focus on, and not what the fact is. The Act consolidates existing hate crime laws and introduces a new offense of inciting hatred against protected characteristics. This broadening of the law has sparked fears about its impact on free speech and expression. Critics, including Tory MSP Russell Findlay, have accused Justice Secretary Humza Yousaf of ignoring these concerns. Yousaf, for his part, maintains confidence in the Police Scotland's ability to manage these cases, emphasizing that the force is well-equipped and trained for this task. You hear that? The cops are already well-trained to deal with non-criminal acts and better and more quickly than crimes. The legislation impact extends beyond financial strains. The act has resulted in a notable rise in the logging of non-crime hate incidents perceived as hateful, but not necessarily criminal. So the cops are well-trained to deal with feelings, nothing more than feelings, then the crime they should be focused on is evidenced and lost on society here, as we also read this increase has prompted concerns about a potential inundation of trivial or malicious complaints, especially in the context of highly charged events like football matches. You think, folks? Think about what the jab harmed are going to be complaining about next, disease X. How's that for social credit score doing for you now, folks, when that comes on board? Think about how they're setting this up against. Everyone's fighting amongst each other. And the cops say, we can't even do crime no more. We got our hands full with all this hate. The Scottish government and Police Scotland maintain that they are adept at handling such cases. However, critics argue that the focus on these hate incidents diverts attention and resources from more serious crimes, potentially impacting the overall efficacy of law enforcement. Well, they're not even crimes to be more serious crimes, first of all. But yes, I don't think witnesses of the objectively absurd here can rightly be called critics in this article in an attempt to enforce the absurdity either, as I was reading through this. But it's not just Scotland. No, this absurdity disease is highly contagious. Well, I think it's going to sweep the world. And no government being left behind to evade the criminal law. UK police focus on minor speech incidents over traditional crime. But don't underestimate what I'm pointing out here. Okay, I think you're hearing it. They're going after this, they call minor speech incidents. These have been defined, these minor things have been defined as hate crimes. And that term is not even good. But anyway, this is what they're moving through and how everyone will be forced in and going into. Remember, UK is also doing this digital asset acquisition seizure. And you start tying into social credit eventually, you're going to start seeing these things attaching to your record. And they're not crimes. And they're really not even dealt with administratively either, which they actually should be, and they're just dismissed. But despite government directives, police continue to log minor disputes as hate incidents, while serious crime resolution rates, like burglary, decline alarmingly. There's Gavin Newsom over there in California saying that the crime rate has gone down because they stopped reporting it. So crime rate went down. And it did go down. Not really. But reports indicate that despite recent governmental directives, UK police forces continue to document instances such as neighborhood squabbles, inebriated tirades, and online disputes as incidences of hatred. Worryingly, the diversion of attention appears to coincide with the substantial drop in the resolution rate of conventional crimes. Home Office data reveals that 2023, a meager 3.9% of robbery incidents resulted in charges being laid. Further disheartening is the recent data indicating that close to 50% of all residential break-ins in England and Wales remain unsolved, with police struggling to resolve these crimes in 48% of neighborhoods consisting of 1,000 to 3,000 residents over the last 3 years. This high rate of impunity for burglars raises significant concerns. Despite these directives, a review of civil liberties group Big Brother Watch found that 32 out of 46 scrutinized police forces had recorded more than 6,000 NCHI entries between June and November 2023. And I looked at that number again, and don't you think these two different jurisdictions having the same identical number of calls is suspicious, and maybe the scam to get the legislators to give the cops more funds to continue to pursue non-crime matters preferentially to the criminal matters. Mr. Threadgold over there in Scotland saying the same thing. Same amount of reports in the same amount of time? How? You folks over the pond appear to be such hateful people all of a sudden. Civilized, stiff upper lip and all, though. But I didn't see in the article there the complaint that there were not enough funds to be able to handle increasing criminal cases. How did you read that? Sounds like the setup for a takedown to the future that they want to me. How about you? Again, going over the culture, cancel culture stuff. It's all about social credit, how you behave. Crime doesn't exist where no one has property, understand as well. For those of you facing something like this, it seems this is something there at this point. And let's watch how this cancer rolls out across the world. This is something you'll need to know. This standard coming up here, this is something you need to also show that you'll need to study this more to make the switch enough to take them behind the woodshed, or if they come at you like this. Again, just any report somewhere, just anybody. Last year, the Home Office issued a protocol specifying that, quote, the perception of hostility or prejudice by a complainant or any other person alone is not enough, and in and of itself to warrant an NCHI record being made. Learn that element. Figure that out. You may need to know that's the case, so not just any complaint comes in. They are supposed to put a higher level of scrutiny. They wrote the policy for it. You need to find out what that is. You'll have to find out what makes that enough, in the very least, and always make sure you don't provide that as well, or those elements, because if they come and talk with you or something, you want to know what the borderlines are, what the guardrails are. So you do that. And always leave yourself room for an avoidance or a defense, at least until you folks over the pond finally get a backbone enough to immunize yourself against this highly contagious disease X absurdity of focusing on non-crime over crime and thinking that you need more money for that. And contagious absurdity, which water and distance does not insulate one from, we find Ministry of Truth. Hawaii lawmakers call for set standards for ethical news sources. You tie this together with the prior stories, you start to understand a problem. They're going to start making these standards, too, that everyone is going to be matched against. Hawaii's move to mandate the journalist group to vet news sources for ethics and objectivity ignites debate on misinformation and freedom of the press. Lawmakers in the state U.S. state of Hawaii are trying to get a journalist association there to come up with and adhere to the new process that would make sure their sources are ethical and objective. Quote, the Hawaii professional chapter of the Society of Professional Journalists is requested to establish a process to evaluate and identify sources of news that adhere to ethical and objective journalistic standards to help the public distinguish those that may proliferate misinformation, the resolution concludes. This comes in the shape of a state Senate resolution asking the Society of Professional Journalists chapter in Hawaii to find a way to carry out such evaluation. Can you already see the absurdity and disaster brewing? I hope so, but it's worse, folks. It gets even worse. This week, the resolution was passed by the Judiciary Committee with no votes against or abstainees, and is now headed for adoption by the Senate. The usurpation sustainability promoting bar association preserving legislature has already given its blessing here. This week, the resolution was passed by the Judiciary Committee with no votes against or abstainees. This would be no different than letting a medical association determine for everybody what was ethical and objective about requiring bioweapons jabs without any objective basis in the case of the great COVID swindle. The local communicable disease law, which should have guided that. And we could see as it went, as I predicted, no one would follow that law and didn't. It'd be the same here for your journalism, for your freedom of the press. A society here, a society making ethics decisions, but not required to adhere to the constitutionally protected freedom of the press or freedom of speech, which is supposed to be the presumption and the presumed instead, not treated as the fifth wheel afterthought to be used only in case of some emergency flat tire. In this case, an applied setting standards and ethical news sources, the crime against us would be compounded by an ethical but lawless press reporting on lawless medical emergencies and under the unlimited Smith-Mundt Modernization Act, allowing the government and acting press society bureaucrats would be able to ethically lie to you. So remember, ethics in government is liability-based, not what's good. These ethics are tied to state licensees, like the Bar Association members and doctors, whom are considered threats enough, potentially criminal, to require the government set standards for what constitutes acceptable conduct or omission to limit their liability. And you all saw how good that ethical behavior worked to medically and judicially protect people in the ongoing great COVID swindle, notwithstanding all the communicable disease law to the contrary everywhere. Ethically, it may have been, but lawful, it most certainly was and is not. So be very careful of what we're watching as they're moving this thing incrementally along. It's almost terrifying, I guess I can continue to say, to watch this and people just not see it. And we get into the argument, hey, this is, oh, free speech, free that. No, you're letting society determine ethics that may not be lawful. It's accepted limited liability. This is corporate stuff. This is corporations acting. So look how they're transforming your law right before your eyes as well in the discussion of these things as they move. And the judiciary is already, the judiciary commission in that state is already with it. And that doesn't surprise me at all as we go to places like Tennessee and you watch the Bar Association's sitting there with its rules inside their Supreme Court. And I've already explained to you the House Delegates Resolution of the Bar Association agrees and promotes sustainability. That state's done. All the states are. But, I mean, that's in the rules of judiciary. You don't have a judiciary. And we found that out a long way, a lot longer than I was thinking. Anyway, moving, continuing. Now, this next story is discussed as a medical disorder, but I'm not so sure. Rare disorder causes man to see people's faces as demonic. The condition causes the faces to appear distorted. Quote, my first thought was I woke up in a demon world, the patient said. The distortions appear only when he sees people in person, not in photographs, and through computer screens. So people, quote, have seen face distortions since they were children, Mello says. For them, at least, it's possible to find a single event that was responsible. We're hearing from somebody new every week or two who describes a symptom consistent with PMO, said Brad Duchaine, a co-author of the study and principal investigator of the Social Perception Lab. He added that some patients he worked with in the lab, quote, don't tell anybody or tell very few people about it because they're afraid of what others are going to think. Another woman he spoke to recently sees witch-like faces with long noses and pointy ears, Duchaine said. Quote, the first time it happened, she was on a beach in Jamaica and was looking at two women who were standing in the water. They had this witch-like appearance at one moment, and then they didn't a while later, he said. A case study published in 2018 described a 68-year-old woman who developed PMO after a stroke, although her neurological and eye exams were normal. She reported that people's left eyes moved upward and to the side when she saw them in person or watched them on television. Her own face looked normal in her mirror, though. Now, we've heard of shapeshifters. We've heard of the thinning veil. And I read neurological and eye exams that were normal. So what if this is not a neurological disorder? What if this is a reality without the need for the glasses and seeing that they live amongst us? On the other hand, in the world of scientism, those professing knowledge they actually do not have, we have the ongoing cosmic cluster fiasco. New 3D map sparks dark energy debate causes stir over universe's future. Scientists have unveiled the biggest ever 3D map of the universe, featuring 6 million galaxies, prompting questions about the nature of dark energy and the destiny of the universe. The map enabled scientists to accurately determine the universe's expansion rate across different epochs with unprecedented precision, revealing a consistent acceleration rate. The following here, as we'll read it, is proof of a cosmic climate change, which is also not about the weather. This suggests that the dark energy, the enigmatic force propelling this expansion, may not remain constant over time, challenging previous assumptions. The enigmatic what? In recent findings are valid, then they challenge the theory, implying a need to reevaluate fundamental physics, the concept of the Big Bang, and the universe's future. The study's finding, currently in the preprint stage and not yet peer-reviewed, outline the process of creating the 3D map. If on a prior question and unprovable, the notion of the Big Bang, and this falls apart, how are they understanding what the future holds? It now becomes one big question, doesn't it? And it shows again, cosmologically, they don't know what they're talking about. Andrew Potsnan, a cosmology professor at University College London, who was not involved in the study, said our knowledge of dark energy mechanics is limited. They're going to talk about the future of the universe, though, here, folks. Remember? Yes. Potsnan argued that when the new data is merged with existing measurements, it would not fit with the most basic explanations of dark energy, which he appreciated the study. He could have cautioned that there is a huge, huge amount still to understand about this data, and early results should be taken with a healthy grain of salt. Like the big, chunky grain of salt hidden away from the same people trying to justify their existence by offering fairy tales that continue their paychecks and prestigiousness? Remember, folks, tools may not be accurate despite their apparent accuracy. I've talked a little bit about this in the past as well. Our measuring devices may not actually be looking at what we're looking at. It's pretty interesting and mind-boggling a little way, as he says here. It's mind-boggling. That just means we don't know what's going on. Mind-boggling. Our mind is boggled. We don't have a foundation of knowledge here when our mind becomes boggled, apparently, here. It's mind-boggling that we can measure anything to a precise as 1%, which is a precision you get in the laboratory in physics for high-precision measurements, Frank said. Which means we have to relook at all these measurements. Maybe we didn't, is exactly the point. But it's all mind-boggling, folks, especially when one approaches the subject matter with a bias or agenda and the facts don't meet the bias or fulfill the agenda. Yeah, climate change is not about the weather, but a political-politics fusion towards a demonic special interest enslavement is what this is going toward, as all these people just suck on the, And to escape the scientism of cosmology, we may have found the functioning non-political fusion center. It's a very neat application of a very unstable condition, and you being used prior to any real understanding of the technology is more like using what you've got. You can touch it, taste it, feel it, whatever. You can touch it. It's tangible. Not this idea stuff out in the cosmos. Russia advances space exploration with Rosatom's plasma rocket engine. And this little story kind of caught my imagination a bit. What they're doing here is pretty neat. In 2023, the scientific research program, again, this is application, tangible application, not some question that creates questions, which science is okay to query the questions, but when you look at cosmology, it opens more and more cans, and I think they're getting it, and they're all in the same room with one can, and it's just taking them out. But anyway, here's this tangible application of technology in, I thought, an interesting way. A scientific research program saw Russian scientists breaking new ground by constructing small-scale atomic reactors and achieving plasma confinement in tokamak nuclear fusion chambers. A tokamak is a device that uses a strong magnetic field to contain plasma in a torus, a shape resembling a ring donut. Its purpose is to generate energy from controlled nuclear fusion. It is the first Russian small-scale atomic power station in Yakutia, and the installation of the multi-purpose fast neutron research reactor vessel at JSC in Dmitrovgrad. Plasma with thermonuclear electron temperature was confined in the T15MD tokamak for over 2 seconds at the National Research Center in Kirkuchaw. No, 2 seconds. That's the best they've been able to do. Set a record. 2 seconds containing this plasma. Now listen, how they took what... It's a very precarious process that's going on. All their computing power is now working to try and keep it. They can only go for 2 seconds before the computer loses it. This AI, trying to anticipate these fluctuations inside this toroid. For a precarious 2 seconds, they then pulse even that little 2 seconds and operate this system within the constraint to do something very particular, proving my contention that this knowledge, that knowledge is not power. Knowledge properly applied is power. And literally here, listen how they applied the unstable flux problem that can't be controlled longer than about 2 seconds. And they did it through pulsing. Now, I could be wrong. I think China's coming to mind, but anyway, this is about as far as they can go on this containment in a tokamak, trying to do the fusion zone. Science specialist from Russia's State Atomic Energy Corporation, Rosatom, has developed a plasma accelerator for a proton plasma rocket engine. The design boasts improved thrust of about 6 newtons and specific impulse roughly 100 kilometers per second, according to the press service that the State Corporation Scientific Division. The engine, operating in a pulse periodic mode with a power of up to 300 kilowatts, opens up new prospects in space exploration. Is this almost Back to the Future? Will cola stocks go up? A pulsed periodic plasma propulsion Jetson car? I can hear it now, folks. Pretty cool. This is a pretty neat idea. You only can contain this power for 2 seconds. So we pulse it less time than that. So we now have a force to be reckoned with now. And it happens to work in a particular place, space. How's that? That's pretty cool. I thought that was really, really, really interesting. A neat application. Don't quite get it controlled, but they'll use what they have. So I'm asking y'all, get your knowledge up and use what you have and propel yourself through the world with the way you want to go, not the way the future that they want. And here, speaking of more down-to-earth fallen promises rather than the high aspirations suggested by the Jetsons, smart devices are turning out to be a poor investment. The sci-fi future we anticipated feels further off than ever. As a child of the 90s, growing up bang in the middle of the cell phone and modern computing revolution, reading Asimov, watching Star Trek, and reruns of The Jetsons, I was certain expectations for the future, smart homes that did my bidding, palm-sized computers that were truly my own, and functional ecosystems that accurately responded to my voice or presence, all felt right within the realm of possibility. What went wrong? As someone who is an early adopter of things smart. Most people don't understand that's not really a word. It's a letter designation. SMART. The first S means sustainability. The M is monitoring. And so you can go research and find what those letters stand for. That's what SMART is. That's what they're doing to us. Anyway, of all things SMART, and having invested in a significant amount of money in building a fancy SMART home, it saddens me to say that I feel cheated by thousands of dollars I've spent on SMART devices, and it's not a one-off. Tech giants like Amazon and Google are wresting control away from consumers with each software update. Now, how much more control are they getting when they can turn you on and turn you off through your digital token citizenship? Read for that in this story as well. The smart future. Not the intelligent one, the smart future. The degradation of features and user experience in smart devices have left consumers feeling cheated. Moving towards a local control and investing in professional solutions may keep in navigating the smart home industry. Suffice it to say, that I've paused any future investment in smart devices, and I'll be taking a long and hard look at the company's treatment of its current portfolio before splurging out more cash. I'd recommend you do the same. Learn quickly here, folks, to bring yourself to respond locally. Well, I'll let you read the link to find the myriad ways the author explains people are being duped by the promoters of the future, yet Siberian panopticonocratic plantation that they've built for us. So time is of the essence as they're moving along. As you hear, he's saying that he's been disappointed. It's only happened since the 90s, this disappointment for this gentleman. And it's happening that quick, and it's accelerating in factor, faster. So the time is of the essence on all fronts, avoiding that digital gulag plan by the they. I've been saying, time to get you behind the woodshed now on so many areas. It's a lot of work. I understand they've got us in place. Like I said, I look around. I don't see us thinking too clear as a people. I'm saying as you might hear Russians discuss themselves with Russians, we don't have an Americans that way. And that was very critical what Putin identified with the Russian people versus the American people. And if you listen to what he said, you'll understand another one of our Achilles heels here. And they're transforming this whole thing out of even that in a way. No different than I say, when you go into CBDCs, it's not going to cash, it's not going to money, it's not going to funds. It's going to an obligation to a third party underneath its perception again, of what its obligations are that you will have to meet. This is not finances, is not money, is not even fiat. And this is where they're translating us. We don't even recognize what the threat is. They're slowly moving us away. We think it's going to be good for us, and they get us into it, and then they start adjusting it over time. Not much different than some drug dealer. I'm asking us to look forward on all this. It's going to be very difficult. We see Argentinians, and this is not just them, there's stories around the whole world. People are forced into destitution, and they will do what they need to do. That's honest response. That's exploited. Those that are not hungry and in control exploit those that are. And the whole world can be made hungry in lots of different ways. You hunger for all kinds of things. And as I've said, the more austere you can get quickly, and live within your means, probably the quicker it's not going to affect you so well. In other words, back in the 30s, in the area, talking about getting gold, there was a town in Oregon, Jacksonville. People survived in Jacksonville, Oregon, because they could go down to the Rogue River, and every day they could pan for gold, and it was there. It wasn't tons. It's there, but I mean, a pan you only find wherever you find it. People lived in that town all during the Depression, and never really were for want. They did have to go to work. The gold paid for their food. The gold paid for the things around them. They were also a place that was not tied into the main system. So everybody had this alternative they were working with, and the gold was accepted. Back then, it was more accepted. It was, if you look at the turn of the century, newspapers were full of stories about miners and farmers and the stories of these and the wealth that was being made and the investments that were going on. It was a promoted thing. So it wasn't so unfamiliar then. It's completely unfamiliar now, and there's more people. What I'm pointing out is that the alternative, the ability to go to alternative and not to be pressured from the outside, allowed people to survive beyond just survival. They were able to make it and do okay. They weren't standing in a soup line. They could literally go down and buy their bread with the gold they found. And this is what I looked at that story and I looked at what the world is and they've taken all that type of production from us. So the self-reliance is very, very important. Self-sufficiency if you get enough people together. But this is the system that gets us into the digital. We're reliant on that. There's this digital stuff. I'm not against it. It's that it's being used to exploit us, move us into the use, and then move us through to the end result that they want, not you. I dare say there's not many people listening to me that would understand how a phone's made, what it does, the circuitry, all that. I'm not saying I do. I've got an insight, but no, I don't know how they're doing it. It's not phenomenal what they're doing now, but look at what they're packing, the demonic forces that they're packing in to these things. It's not going to be a lifestyle you understand when they decide to turn it off. Like people who knew nature, knew what was out in the nature, and to go do and to get for themselves. So this is a tale, if you will, this not being too keen on these digital issues. Looked like it was going to be the future, the Jetsons, right? We're just going to putt around in our little plasma putter. But no, that's not turning up. Not really in any way that we can accept anyway. But even nature has become a disappointing failure with regard to the technocrats as we look to see, again, natural events, understand the nature around you, understand the world. I've suggested that the plants around you can help you if you get a little knowledge. And it takes a bit. It's a lifetime learning. We should have been not learning other things more than that to begin with. But the nature is not cooperating with the Gretocrats. Plants release up to 30% more CO2 than previously thought. New research suggests plants could be releasing more carbon dioxide into the atmosphere than previously thought. All right, I got to do this. Scientism, folks. Previously thought means no one really looked at it. And finally they looked at it. And they had a biased, preconceived idea, had no study behind it, had no facts behind it. They just adopted the idea right there in the first opening paragraph. You don't have a previous thought if you're a scientist. You have to have the proof and the evidence, and then it's not a thought. It's what the evidence proves. But this is how so-called scientism kind of moves along. But now they studied it, and we don't even know if the study was right. Again, your instruments are all key here. How you did the study, all this stuff would have to go through. What they call peer review means that people went out and looked at the study and tried to analyze whether or not there was failures in it. In a way, like I said, a colleague of mine found out that the local state environmental control agency was dinging a concrete manufacturer for producing mercury. But well, that test only tested the output. No one thought to test the input. And when my colleague told them, did you test the input air to see what it started out to be? They said no. And then they said, well, why don't you test the air going in to the system that you claim this concrete manufacturer is putting mercury in the air? And they found out the mercury was already in the system. It was already in the air. And in fact, the concrete manufacturing company was actually pulling some out. It was actually doing more than it was supposed to do, and yet it was almost about to be shut down. That's what peer-reviewed science starts to do. Just look and see, does it make reasonable sense? They started to do that here in this study. Fascinating. Plants produce 30% more CO2 than previously thought. You think that's going to skew some things a little bit when your agenda is about carbon dioxide? But then they find something else peculiar. Not to us, anybody that looks at this stuff, to them, because they were just prejudiced, putting their bias and agenda forward. A study involving Australian National University, Western Sydney University, and centers around the world has found that plants release more carbon dioxide through their respiration. And as global temperatures rise, scientists say that the output of carbon dioxide by plants will accelerate. During daylight hours, plants take in carbon dioxide and release oxygen through photosynthesis. And at night, Only about half that carbon is then released through respiration. Professor Etkin said the plants were previously thought to respire 5 to 8 times the carbon that is produced by human activity. However, the new findings suggested that the number could be higher. Quote, each year, the burning of fossil fuels releases about 5 to 8 billion tons of carbon. So the respiration by plants is somewhere approaching 11 times that in our new estimate, he said. That's an enormous flux, he goes on to continue, exclaiming that, wow, enormous flux. Now, this is an estimate, folks. Again, what's the proof? Ballpark, yeah, but we're talking about lives and turning off your social credit over this. However, plants still remain a net carbon sink, meaning they absorb more than they emit. So, you'd think the answer from the geniuses would be to plant more plants, I mean, more trees, right? But no, let's cut all the forest down and bury them, just like we did on Mars. Oh, wait. When you know, folks, when you know, now put your knowledge to proper action, get you behind the woodshed with these miscreants. They're out to kill us. They want to kill us. I don't know why. I don't know what happened to them when they were young. I don't know what happened to Greta. But they don't understand the future, actually. They say they can predict the future, but they determine a future that they want, but they're misguided. They're overzealous in what they think they know. That just isn't so. So why we don't plant more trees? We talked about that in the 70s and 80s. That seemed to be pretty smart. Why the Forest Service wants to burn all your forest down? I don't know. But that's not a carbon problem. No, we don't call that a carbon problem. But when it comes to you, you become the carbon problem. When it comes to nature, it's not looked at. Well, what do we talk about? During the day and night, you have to recognize the sun. These folks don't recognize the sun. You think I'm joking? Go read the UN documentation. There's no, well, they say now they recognize it, but they don't, not in their definition. Because anthropomorphic contribution is not the sun. And that's the only thing the UN and all these people focus on. So there has to be a day. Why don't we look at the sun? Why don't we look at the contribution of that? Oh, we find that the nature is pretty powerful. It makes a whole lot more carbon than little man can. All the people on the earth don't make as much as plants. And that's the trees I think they're talking about. Do you understand what's going on in the oceans? Do you understand what's going on that are not trees in this world? It's fascinating. And yet we exist. A whole lot more ecological than Mars. Again, I'm really thinking that maybe Elon Musk is trying to go back to Mars to try and hide the evidence that it used to look like this place, maybe. Until that someone decided they were going to sequester carbon. And guess what? What's left over? Carbon dioxide. That's their environment. Oops. So, interesting. Not interesting. I guess, I want to say it's interesting. It's not interesting. This was common knowledge when I was going through school. All this was common knowledge. I'm reading it. I'm dismayed that I'm even reading it. Some of you know this. Some of you know this and know why it's so ridiculous. But you see what they're doing with ridiculous? Absurd. See what they're doing with absurd anymore. And then they profit from it to our additional expense. So it's not so easy to just ignore. I wish I could tell you could just ignore it. People like Bill Gates, where did he come from? Not a doctor, advises vaccines, completely against the law. Not an environmental specialist at all, wants to know cloud and seed your skies. It's coming out now. They're doing that. Ice crystals. Well, that's not even new stuff. I mean, I know he's supposed to be a billionaire, that state of the art. No, this is all stuff they were doing in the 1800s. I've talked about all this too, weather modification. The real problem becomes the binary weapon of it. But where are the people to not step up, find the notices that say we're going to do this and tell them no? Stop messing with my air. Stop messing with my environment. Stop messing where you are surprised at everything. You turn around and start looking at the environment. You're surprised by it. You don't haven't proven that you have an ability to even understand what you're doing. Bill Gates has no specialty. His money is not a specialty. We really have to get together. These people want to kill us for some reason. I don't know what that is. I have no concept of it. I really am not wired to understand that. I don't get abuse. I don't get psychopathy. I don't get that. I mean, some people, you know, maybe sound stupid to me say it, but some people may understand it. I don't. You just see the effects of it too. So anyway, 30% more CO2, and that's an estimate. They know it's an estimate. They know they're not looking at the rest of the system. And we also know when you start applying this stuff, when you look at the temperature increase, we're at the low spot. We're one of the low spots right now in the all of time that we've been able to figure out and find tests that we believe are telling us something relative to temperature. The variation of the Earth, we're at a lower extremity of the temperature of the variation potential of the Earth. Anybody right now saying the climate is going to increase in temperature would be right generally anyway, because it's gone really high. They've also had, we've seen the numbers. Carbon dioxide has gone way, way, way up. I'm not trying to discuss the dynamic of why. I'm saying it just did. It can go a lot higher. The temperature can go a lot warmer. We also get a lot more moisture. It's maybe why things grew, like plants grew giants, and that's why they had dinosaurs and whatever else happened there too. We just don't, I don't know if they have any real information on that. We make that stuff up too. Them bones produces all our oil. I don't think so either. But there's the story, see? Oh, we didn't know. We're surprised. And yet these people are making decisions over your life. People who didn't know that plants create 30% more CO2 than people and naturally sequester that CO2 are telling you, you have a carbon footprint that's killing the Earth. Are not people you need to be listening to anymore and need to put them on a small rock outcropping in the South China Sea and let them figure out what the acidic ocean is, rising sea levels, and Mother Nature's all about. Because as I started this broadcast, you find out they don't care about you. They're allowing a little bit of toxic doses to befall you all the time in all the products. Remember I talked about the definition of organic. If you look at a definition of organic, it's not 100% pure. It allows for 5% adultery. And I told you that simple thing, I don't think that it's not 5% to put a drop of biologically tainted water in a 55-gallon drum that can kill people. And yet it would be considered organic as to the water, because there's allowance for toxic substances up to 5% is not different than the story that the government of Kenya and Nigeria found there was exceedances of these toxic substances that they were allowing in children's cough medicine. That's all profit driven. That's all for corporations. That's all for commerce. It's certainly not for people. And yet, if you look, the Achilles heel of this republic was that we were supposed to be vigilant to keep the republic, that it maintained its organization, its establishment, that these things didn't encroach. And when we don't, the invader, the occupier, the usurper, the exploitation artist, the privateer steps in to take your life. Take what he can take. Parasitically takes what they can take. And it's a lot of work to try and figure a way around. And I don't know really all the answer to that. Partly I thought I'd had a lot of it figured out relative to my condition, just getting the mining claim going. The money was in the bank, literally in the ground, like the olden times when they were able to eke out a living when they had to. This claim's a lot better. Didn't have to eke it out. I could establish all the things I tell you about being separate from these types of organizations, these governments. And in America, the United States, they had to keep that separateness or expose themselves to be the criminals, as I've explained. It's in the law. I don't make this stuff up. Just go read what's going on. The problem is we haven't kept the republic as a people. We've accepted people who have no authority to tell us something. We complain then that we're being forced, when in fact that's not the case at all. We just aren't establishing our power that has been allowed. We had to allow to ourselves, remember. The people made this. But the Achilles heel was that we had to keep it. And we're not doing such a good job of that. I suppose that's what I'm asking. We need to do we have to do an impeccable job at it. Otherwise, you see the encroachments. And we haven't been doing, what's the statement to every 20 years, you know, there has to be a correction. Blood must be shed or something. I don't remember the statement. That, whether or not that's the physical thing that has to happen, it's a truth. How tightly we have to keep control of the reins of those that will exploit us. They use that system against us. You're watching people that are involved in the elections. You're watching the exploitation of it. This has been known since the 90s, at least, on electronic formats. By me, I know. I've explained that. It hasn't changed. And that's not even the only way that it's exploited. You're watching how they've now decided they can run on the asylum, and people are crazy enough to go ahead and let them. It's pretty fascinating. Like I said, on one hand, I'm fascinated to watch the mechanics of our interaction as people. I'm terrified on the other that no one else really, not many, can. I don't even know if we want to. We can affect that much alteration and change to bring it back into more sense and stop the absurdity, stop the insanity, stop the psychopathy. Like I said, it's a totally different question on how we go about doing that. Part of it is to pull things local to you. I know that'll be helpful. I was hoping that would work for me. That's been my plan, and that was taken right away from me. So whether that's in my future anymore, I don't know. But I could see a pathway. Some of you have access to those pathways. Start developing them. Literally, time is of the essence. They're going to take this economy down to a point where you have to comply in order just to make it. And I'd rather see us prepared in ways that we can resist that. And it's a little bit of work, but I think it's a lot less work than finding yourself to be that slave that was planned for you to be there. That's like the Kobe swindle. There's a way to avoid it, and who did, really? Anyway, so I hope something that today I said helps you out. Keeps you thinking, keep out of the jeopardy, avoid what you can avoid, engage what you need to engage in more proper ways, and keep yourself protected as we move through these interesting times, because they really are, and watching the demonic and insane world that's developing. Where did this place come from all of a sudden? Those demonic faces, is that a disorder? Or someone that doesn't need the glasses to see? I'll be with you next week. Tech Tips, or nature willing. This is episode BTWRLM 572.
Another lesson. I hope with today's information you can take it to those that misbehave. From behind the woodshed, leaving his mark on the beast, this is Hal Anthony. Till next time, journey with purpose.
Feels like.
Son, I just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.